So now maybe kind of using that as a lead into her, talk about Saint Teresa of Avila. You know, for those of you that don't know her, Doctor of the Church, Carmelite, you know, she's one of the great spiritual masters. If you want to learn how to pray or about prayer or what happens when you pray too much, she writes all about it. Some of it's hard to read or difficult to read, but she's, man, she's a go-to person. Awesome, awesome. She's from like the 1500s from Spain. Tell us, so what happened to her?
Yeah, so just yeah, Interior Castle, you know, her books, her biography, it's definitely not a one read and you get it, right? It's a lifelong one of those the great books, right? You read at different times in your life and you get different things from them and you grow with the book. And so yeah, she's beautiful in that way. She's such a beautiful person in life. So when she first entered the monastery, the convent, very soon, like she wanted to enter much sooner, like Saint Therese, right? There's a lot of commonalities between the lives of Saint Teresa of Avila and Saint Therese of Lisieux. Saint Therese of Lisieux was actually able to petition the Pope to let her in Carmel sooner, but Saint Teresa of Avila, until she was an adult, right, her father would not let her enter the monastery. So when she finally did enter the monastery, she died. not, so she started having fainting attacks, fainting experiences, which is interesting because that's also how Jonah describes his body, his soul leaving his body. You know, my soul fainted. And they begin to increase in number, seizures, and then ultimately she was believed to be dead for 4 days. They put the wax on her eyes. They had said her funeral mass. They had opened her tomb. And if it had not been for her father, the same father who didn't want her to leave him in life, who didn't want her to leave him in
He had
death.
attachment issues of some type.
Yeah.
And I mean, who could blame him? It sounds like she was an awesome
Yeah.
daughter that, like, who would want a daughter like that to leave you?
I know. Yeah. Makes me, I need to cherish my own children more.
Or
It's
tell them to
convicting.
become holier so that you can cherish them more easily.
Exactly. And so, yeah, if it weren't for her dad, she may have been buried. And then, you know, you might have seen the scratch marks on her coffin, like you do with some of the, you know, other people that are, you're like, why don't we call them saints? Why aren't they, we don't have saint on them? But anyway, that's another topic. So here I was, you know, I was reading about this near-death experience. I had been, I think it may have been Dr. Petrie that pointed me to Saint Teresa of Avila. He helped me at some point along the way, and I was reading about how she died for 4 days, and I was like, oh no, just like with Jonah, please tell me you wrote about what you saw. And in her biography, she just briefly mentions it, you know, it's just like agonizing. She doesn't go into more detail. She says that the Lord showed her the convents that and the souls that she would save with her convents. And I was like, well, there's got come on, please let there be more than that, which is cool, you know, that's great. But yeah, so thankfully she told other people in her life about her experience, like her mother superior, her family members, and these testimony from these was recorded by her other her biographers. You know, some of her more I don't know if you can quite say ancient, but some of her more contemporary contemporary to her life biographers. So thankfully we do have a lot of this recorded. Her experience and her experience, from what the onset sounded like, it was a kind of a traditional NDE where she experienced heaven. But as I dug deeper, her experience was of hell or purgatory. It's hard to tell which it was. I think it's hell though. And so this is how she describes it. And this does come from her autobiography. Thank you. So she describes an entrance to hell. It is hell. A very long, narrow passage, which I thought was interesting because that sounds like the tunnel.
Yeah.
Sounds like a tunnel experience. So she says, the entrance I thought resembled a very long, narrow passage, like a furnace, very low, dark, and closely confined. The ground seemed to be full of water, which looked like filthy, evil-smelling mud, and in it were many wicked-looking reptiles. Mm-hmm. At the end, there was a hollow place scooped out of a wall like a cupboard, and it was here that I found myself in close confinement. So, you know, this has kind of haunted me after reading it, because her words throughout her writings are provocative for your imagination, right? Yeah. They spin your imagination. And so you can't help but imagine her, you know, being just bound up and just like a tight ball in a place where her, you know, her lungs couldn't even fully expand, like an eternity of suffocation. And not to mention, you know, you're being assaulted. All of your senses are being assaulted because of the terrible smells, you know, the creatures that maybe are crawling in the water on you. You know, in the interior castle, she talks about the reptiles that prowl about outside the courts of your interior castle. So I can't help but think that this was part of the inspiration for that. And the reptiles are probably some kind of demonic creature. Mm-hmm. You know, just crawling around, and then it's a furnace. Yeah. So you can't breathe, but what you do breathe smells terrible and is hot as hell.
Yeah.
Right.
It's one of those things that we need to meditate on, to think about as motivation to really never sin. It does make you wonder what was the state of her soul? She was, mm-hmm. And also maybe not to judge someone as a saint, to think, you know, they were perfect their whole lives. Obviously she was at a place where she was kind of away from God. It always struck me that then later on, she says that was one of the biggest graces of her life. You would think that seeing heaven would be, but